Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla.
We're both professional registered homeopaths, and between us have over 25 years of professional practice in this field of healing.
The Homeopathy Health Show is the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcasts around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing and healthcare, which is suitable for all ages, young and old.
Every week, we invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy.
Visit www.ukhealthradio.com to listen now. To find out more about us, you can visit us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk. And whilst you are there, do subscribe to our newsletter.
Be inspired.
And join the conversation.
So let's begin today's show here on the UK Health Radio Network, the world's number one talk health radio.
Real feel-good radio.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to part two of this two-part special with none other than Patricia Hatherley. And part one was last week, of course, and we continue the conversation.
Welcome back, Patricia. The conversation is just developing. And I think when we go back to our roots, that's the most important thing for us to look at. Okay, how can we nourish or nurture the mother so she's ready to take care of the offspring? What can we do now? How can we help our mothers or mothers who are trying to conceive? The IVF, etc., has increased. What is happening? What is that we can do as homeopaths to help them?
Well, as homeopaths, I mean, we can just do the one-on-one and support with remedies mm-hmm. when we need mm-hmm. them. But mm-hmm. it is bigger than that, Nyla. I mean, governments and mm-hmm. society need mm-hmm. to recognize, and we need to give mothers a bonus for breastfeeding when they're staying mm-hmm. home, because it's real work. I mean, mm-hmm. in Australia, the Red Cross will get milk that's donated, and they pasteurize it, and they sell it to the hospitals for the babies in the NICU. They charge $2,000 a litre.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, that's kind of how much human milk will cost on the open market. Mm. I mean, every country has got the production of breast milk written into its GDP and the health benefits that emanate from that. They know how valuable it is. And I just read the other day that RFK Jr. is really looking into this now. And in America, they're going to be supporting mothers who breastfeed more, because they realize the impacts that it has on society on every level. But it is real work. And, you know, you save enough by breastfeeding for a year to buy a major household appliance.
Yeah,
you know, you could just put some dollars to it.
I mean, there's a big trend, isn't there, Patricia, with cow's colostrum, you know, people want to get hold of that.
Me.
It's
don't
so
start
big,
there.
Isn't it? Yeah, I know.
What about the poor little calves who don't get colostrum? I just go, oh,
exactly.
Come on.
But it's like, well, hang on, you've already got that. The ability is there. It's just like, I don't know if it's a society thing or it's being pushed to do things with the least possible stress. But if you don't work hard, then the results are never going to be there. It's an age-old thing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, colostrum is it's a universal substance, of course, with milk. But, you know, it's only there for 3 days. It has a very specific role in lining the gut and getting everything ready for the microbiome to be doing its thing with respect to, you know, developing the immune system. But then taking it when you're 30 or 40 because the guy at the gym said it was good for you, I just go, no. That's not appropriate, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I just pictured a bodybuilder with a milk bottle, so I don't know where my mind went, but I'll come back. I'm back. I'm all right. It's okay. What have you done to me, Patricia? Oh, my God, I can't get it out of my head.
It's a pill.
Don't think of an elephant. Don't think of a horse. Don't think of a cow.
Yeah, it comes in powder form or pill form, so don't go there.
Yeah.
Patricia, I was thinking about milk and feeding the children, and you've touched upon something very interesting, that the governments have a role to play, and the NICU units, etc. And that took me back to history. Like, it was an old thing to have feeding mothers, your mother is there, but you also had a mother that would feed you. I'm a Muslim, and the Prophet Muhammad was fed by another mother, and he loved her as well as his own mother. So it is nothing new. It was there, but it's just something that is forgotten.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I've been a big believer in milk banks, and maybe even making formula from human milk, and I think that would still be better than formula made from cow's milk. But you've got to keep in mind that the milk that one mother produces is not exactly the same as that of another milk mother, simply because of her lifestyle and her disease history and the kind of immunoglobulins that she's going to have for her baby. So there's something quite precious and unique in that regard. So that needs to be taken into consideration as well. So I think to try and support each mother in her individual journey is the gold standard. But to have milk banks and to have human milk available for anybody, because sometimes things happen and, lactations fail or, it's difficult, and to be able to give human milk is such a godsend for the babies. But I have supported women over the years who've got babies with, severe cleft palates, and they've pumped milk for years to give to their babies. That's a huge commitment.
It
But
does take us on, does it not, Nyla, to the world of lacs, because there are so many, which you've of course covered in your book. And what I'm very fascinated, by we talk about lac caninum a lot, Nyla and I. We talk about that because it seems to be very current, just like lac humanum, which is spoken about. And lac caninum is also the polarity of it itself, and how, I mean, wow, that's a remedy and a half because it works amazing, right? But then we have so many other milks, right? So we've mentioned
Well,
horse,
lac caninum was kind of
dolphin.
the first one, wasn't it? I mean, that was one of the earliest ones that was developed. There's a few things with lac caninum that don't sit with me. Laura Morgan, who was the main prover, took the remedy at the beginning of her menstrual cycle, and there was a note in her diary a few days in saying noting a reduction in the swelling of the breasts, and so of course that's gone into a rubric. Governing, helping make milk and or drying up milk. It had nothing to do with milk. It had everything to do with the normal progesterone dropping away in the cycle. I mean, there are a lot of things in our repertory that were written by well-intentioned men 200 years ago that just aren't borne out by science, and that's one of them. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm much more into the wolf than the dog because it's a noble canid, whereas a dog's a more craven canid. It's substituted man for its pack leader, says Vermeulen, and that's true. The main etiology in my experience for lac caninum is to be adopted out, is to actually lose the mother, completely lose the mother. And ironically, dogs will mother anything. I mean, you can give any kind of little animal to a dog who's breastfeeding, and she will breastfeed it. Whereas, I think the main etiology in my experience has been to be adopted out, or for the lactation to suddenly fail, if the mother got a shock or a trauma or something happened and her milk was lost overnight, that could be an etiology. And I'll just share something else with you too. It came up in the proving diaries, and it was never put into the Materia Medica or the repertory. And there were a couple of provers who had dreams of hell and the devil. And I've actually confirmed them clinically, and I've put them into my book, The Lacs. But there's something about, we'll see, it's a dog with three heads that guards the gates of hell. So you need to go. In fact, I gave a paper at the AHA conference 3 years ago. It's a listen case, and it's I talk all about this actually. It's worth having a look at. It's on my website. It's free. But the role that the dog plays in consciousness is actually quite profound. But the wolf for me is a much more noble animal, and I've got a lot of lovely wolf cases
Oh.
that, you know, they're caring, really caring. You know, they will bring game for their old. They will stay loyal to their partner. There's a lot of differences in the wolf that you don't see in other canids.
Well, this is fascinating because I have a case where I've given lecanidum, and I didn't know that there is a Dreams of Hell and Devil, and all she talks about is Hell and Devil.
That's interesting. And the other thing is, in Alan's keynotes, there is a line that says lecanidum can only be given once. That's interesting because, and I think that's pretty much true. I mean, if you give lecanidum, there should be a shift. There should be a shift. Yeah.
It is a polarity remedy, isn't it? Very much. That's
Amazing, right?
wonderful.
It's
So,
amazing.
yeah.
There's a question that is coming because you talked about serpents in the beginning, and we're talking about legs. How are the legs connected to the serpent? Do you think there is a correlation there?
Well, I think it's to do with the DNA. And the fact is that the lakes shape DNA. You know, they formulate the immune system, whatever that animal is. So that makes the DNA strong, physiologic, you know, appropriate for that species. And it is in the shape of the double. So that's your first connection. But as I said before, it's to do with the shape of oxytocin. Yeah. You see oxytocin, it's very wide at this end and it comes right down. It's only a very small molecule, like a little cobra. I remember when I first saw it, I went, oh, my goodness, it's a snake.
So there is a link then between snake remedies, is there, and the lac remedies? Or can there be? Like a
No, I've not seen that.
no.
No,
Okay.
I've not seen that.
I in my practice, I'm seeing that after I give a lac remedy, even though I don't see the classical picture, the snake remedy comes into action, and that will take care of the remaining.
That's not been my experience, but everybody's experience is different. I've actually just recently published an article I wrote in England in the Society of Homeopaths journal on milk as a symbol. And in some of the things we're talking about here, and I talk a lot about the snake and in that article and where it all fits with that.
Oh,
So.
I'll read. I have their magazines. I'll have a read. Go and find that one. It's just fascinating how sometimes, like I'm thinking of a particular one case where I have given lecanidum, and I actually have just given it once. It shifted the whole persona and the actual pathology that needed to be cured. There was just one. There were three remedies in that rubric, but one was covering other symptoms as well, and that was Lachesis. I've given Lachesis, and that's where things moved and the case moved forward. Like I felt that more the personality has changed.
You would
So,
hope so.
yeah. I was getting messages all the time, and after that, I didn't get many.
They are so wonderfully deep acting, and it's so beautiful, isn't it? Honestly, I can't get over this, and I talk about it all the time, and sometimes I probably drive people bonkers because I talk about it. But the fact of the lack of remedies being there, you know, at the time, you know, at the beginning stages of life, and the matrodonal remedies, and it's like it's so beautiful, isn't it? Because we talk about past traumas. You've mentioned Patricia so eloquently, you know, about past traumas and how they can come into being. We've mentioned about society at this moment in time, and people are confused about their identity, which actually leads me slightly off to a tangent because some research. Don't quote me, but it was quoted, was done that those who are confused with gender possibly and identity, and they go through any type of invasive procedures, 80% of them at the moment regret doing that after
Oh,
a
I
few
can imagine.
years. And that also plays on your mind because sometimes, as human beings, just as human beings alone, sometimes, you know, that trauma that of what of that surgery or procedure can have ramifications later on, right? That's another layer of trauma, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, in our repertory, there's a whole section on delusions, aren't there? And we take them into consideration when we're prescribing. And this is, to me, just another form of delusion, because it's not consistent with the model of being a human. So there's something wrong, and remedies should fix that. Whereas maturity will often fix it too. I mean, little girls can go through life, having penis envy when they're little, and because of the convenience that boys have. And then, of course, they hit puberty and become women and think, oh, what was I thinking? It's to do with stages of development. And
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
But it is, I just think children today are just confused about even who they are.
Identity is a big thing, and I think it's because social media is brilliant. Everything is brilliant, okay, but everything in moderation, isn't it? It's just like having to conform to certain things which aren't even real. There's all these. When I'm scrolling through social media, Nyla, you've seen this as well, right? We find all these apps which are, oh, this is how, use this app, scan your face, and this is what you look like. Younger. I won't even go to AI because that, I don't know what that does. It doesn't look younger. It just changes you into an animal somehow, the pictures, right? But it's strange, isn't it? Because it plays with your mind that this is what it is, the right thing, when it's not, you're not supposed to look like that, But anyway.
This is the topic that is very close to me after breastfeeding, because all of this goes into the development of the future generation. If they don't know who they are, how are they going to become that they need to become? And identity, again, is a big issue nowadays. Kids at their school are taught to think beyond who they are born.
Like, bullying is big things, really.
It
big.
Is. It. You yourself are not satisfied with who you are, and then you make it even worse for the person in front of you, and that plays such at the developmental age. It plays a huge role because we all have been. We were young. Peer pressure. They have. This is what is in. This is what is outdated. This is the new modern fashion. Everything is okay. Is normal. But bullying comes, and then because of that bullying, it can start at home. Can start from where they were not fed. They were not nurtured, and now in school because they have this picture of, I am the one who is not nurtured, and I have a little bit of low confidence. And then the bullies, they stand up, okay, this is the one I can bully. And the whole scenario changes, and the letters that are sent home are, oh, the child fell. The whole picture is someone pushed him, that was taken away, so that the school is not getting all the rants from the parents or anyone who is taking care of this. I just don't understand how to. I so want to and tell them, let them be. Let them be themselves. Go away.
It's the whole thing about the self versus the group, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is, one of the key elements of the LACS.
Yeah.
I am.
I am, yeah.
I am. I mean, it's interesting, and let's link this back to oxytocin, because oxytocin is the hormone of love. That's what we talk about. And I don't know whether you studied Latin at school, but when you study Latin, the first verb you do is amare, meaning to love, A-M-A-R-E. So if you cut that word into two syllables, it's am and it is are. So I am, you are, is compassion. It's unconditional love.
Wow.
And it's encompassed in the word. And kind of that's what oxytocin is about. And if the baby is immersed in that milieu for the appropriate amount of time, they have a good sense of self. They know that they were not rejected by the, their world, which is the mother, and their world becomes the school or the peer group, and they can learn to kind of make decisions for themselves. I mean, if a baby's crawling, begins to explore its world, can come back to the mother, she's the safe place, starts to walk, can go away from the mother but come back, she's the safe place. But by the time they're four, it's like, oh, there's other people out here, bye, mum, and they're off, but have a good sense of self. As Erickson says, you've got a sense of trust and a sense of autonomy, that you can be I am. And not be too worried. I mean, the lesson of Lacumanum is to be alone, but not lonely. It's to be unto yourself, happy in your skin, happy to be in the world and be interacting with others, but not dependent on them for how you feel and what you get on with,
That's a lot of empowerment there. Much needed as well, isn't it? Because we find ourselves very much led, just like it's almost like the Pied Piper scenario, isn't it? Visually, just follow the pack. It's quite interesting. This is like a joke side of it, but I remember once I shared this with Nyla. We're talking about just following, right? So I was at a cash point ATM, and there were two ATMs, and one was they were both working, but the queue was in the first one, so I joined it. And then it was a really long queue, and I thought, this is really odd. So I thought, okay, I'm not waiting, because I queues and me, So I moved away. I said, I'm not doing this. And I just said, well, let me check, at least if it says it's not working. It was working. So I took money out, which I was supposed to, right? Everybody else was so upset. Oh, you jumped the queue. I said, well, hang on a minute. I didn't jump anything. No one's even going there. What do you want me to do? Just to stand there and say, next, please. And it was like, just follow the crowd. But nobody was thinking at that time something so basic and simple that, well, hang on a minute. Let me just go on my own volition and at least find out. Interesting, isn't it? How it works, the dynamics. Yeah. Anyway, totally digress, but hey. That was a worthy moment, ladies and gentlemen. We're so honoured, are we not, to have Patricia Hatherley on the show talking about LAX. I mean, this is just, we could swim in this milk, could we not?
Let's just have it for the babies.
Yes. Okay.
Her apparently bathed in milk. She bathed in Asa's milk, I think.
No comment.
We're talking about oxytocin, and as we have spoken about, and you've mentioned that it's the hormone of bonding, birth, milk, trust, and connection. That's the me and you, or we are Mare. I love that word. I'm going to. I studied Latin for 1 year, but I don't remember anything.
It should have been the first verb. First noun is table. Means amas, 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 ah.
I studied it and I was like, what am I studying? So what now in your understanding, because we have touched upon Lucky Lupinam and how I understand there's a theme of pack, instinct, exclusion and belonging. So how do you see oxytocin helping us understand the deeper emotional and biological story of this remedy then? Like,
Of Lac lupinum.
hmm.
It's interesting because in the wolf kingdom, only the alpha male and the alpha female reproduce. And there are allo mothers who raise the young. So they are fed with milk, but not their mother's milk, which is interesting. But they're very caring, the wolf. And they have each other's back. They protect of. If you see, you can see there are stock photos of this, but when, as I said, a male and the female wolf are very bonded for life. They are a partner, but they will cuddle each other and they protect the neck of each other, or the male will stand behind the female and swing himself around so that he covers her neck. And that's how the wolf will hunt. They will, the word flip is a key word in Lac Lupinum, so that when they're attacking prey, they will get it by the throat and flip it, and they attack the throat. That's how they kill. And so they will protect the throat of each other. So that's kind of interesting. And where was I going with that? There is a rubric of a delusion that somebody took a knife to my sternum. That's a key rubric for Lac Lupinum, and it's good to remember that. And I've had quite a few cases. Even I think even one of the first one, the lady who needed it, her father died suddenly when she was a little girl. I think she was 12. He was a baker, had his own business. He used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work to do the bread. And this one morning there was a fog, and he missed the T intersection, and he drove straight through, and he was pierced in the chest, by the road sign. And that was this cut to the sternum. The energy of his death impacted on her, which is interesting. And she needed Lac Lupinum as an adult. But that is a big keynote for that remedy. Very vulnerable here.
Wow, so fascinating. I have a case of like
I mean, when they're on the march, the wolf. They put all the old and infirm in front, and then the mothers with the babies are next. Then all the young bucks, the young males, and then the leader of the pack is at the back. That's how they march. So the old and the infirm set the pace, and the others adjust. But they are protecting from the rear.
Beautiful, isn't it?
It's so fascinating. I love the animal world, how they're developed and how they make this nurture, because humans are also fascinated by wolves as well, because we have learned a lot from them. How to take care of ourselves, how to take care of our clan, basically, and how to do that. I will
I
also
would
be.
like to get the milk of a wild wolf because the milk from our proving, Melissa Asylum, I don't know whether you know the story, but there was a wild wolf was injured and she was taken to Yellowstone Park and given to the ranger to recuperate, and then he let her free in the park, and then when she was whelping, she came back to him. And he let her in, and she had her pups, in his cabin, and he asked her, could he have the milk, and she let him milk her, and that's where the remedy got made up straight away. So it was a wolf in captivity, and it's the same with the horse. I would love to get the milk of a wild Brumby. I think it would be different.
How to get it then?
An Australian dingo would be interesting, but the trouble is how to get hold of them to get the milk.
Exactly. Yeah,
I've
that's
been
just a
wanting to get
mess.
the milk of a platypus, all my professional life, because the monotremes, are the link. They excrete this milky substance, which is actually lysozyme, which is what milk developed from. We know that. But to go up a, oh, she just couldn't do it.
No, couldn't. Made it
It's
real.
not possible.
You've just reminded me of Ian White and Peter Terminello, actually, because they've shared these stories of going out into the outback for days on end and walking 3 hours just to find out it's raining and they have to go back home. And
Yeah.
it's 2 days of travel. And just when you said that, that's the picture that it's like, wow, that's a lot of work, isn't it?
Lots of adversary here, yeah.
Is there a link between Lac Lupinum and the moon then?
And the what?
Luna.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Because, this age-old thing of wolves and moonlight and
Yeah, they bay
howling
at the
and,
moon. Yeah, I don't know.
something to so for us to look at, isn't it, Nyla? Something we could perhaps look at.
Yeah, maybe the threads, the thoughts, they take us everywhere.
There's actually something in the proving diaries of Lac Lupinum that didn't make it into the literature. And I think it's to do with being polite and prudish. But there were a couple of dreams of people sitting on a toilet in a public place, either defecating or urinating, and having conversations and feeling quite okay about it. But didn't make it into the Materia Medica or the repertory, but I found it a keynote in some cases.
Which remedy is it?
Lac Lupinum, the
No, don't
wolf.
tell me that. No,
But
seriously. Like
Lacumanum can have that as well. Lacumanum can have dreams of dirty toilets and of no privacy when they're using a toilet, and that's to do. I remember Sankaran giving a case of Lacumanum at conference at Tromsø, that was a long time ago, and he said it's to do with the psychotic aspect of Lacumanum and people needing to deal with their shit, literally, and so that will come out sometimes in dreams. Yeah.
Well,
That's interesting.
that's a very interesting point there. Well,
Because I have a couple of cases that I'm working on, and they have exactly these dreams, and I've not given them, I gave them Lacumanum. That moved the case, but I never knew that there is that same dream is in Lupinum as well. I have to go back and now. Oh,
Yeah,
thank you
have a
for
look in my
that.
book. I put it into my book and I put it into my repertory, yeah.
I'll do that. I'll definitely go there. Wow, fascinating. I'm telling you, this podcast is all about me getting goosebumps. Maybe I'll name it like that.
Goosebumps with Patricia Hadley.
And I just can't get oxytocin out of my mind because we talked about pitocin and so many birds are now elected and they're given this pitocin to start the process. So will you help those mothers and the children with Lacumanum?
Well, it really depends. If those women then went on and breastfed their babies for a long time, we do know from research that that can make up for what happened in the conception and the birth. And so maybe they won't need lacumanum. Maybe it will all be remedied by the mother mothering, but she needed that for whatever reason. I mean, managed births. Unnecessary sometimes. I mean, I had a placenta previa for my second pregnancy, my daughter, and I had to have a cesarean. My placenta was growing down over my os, and that was it. So, it's just 12 to 15% of women have to have a Caesar for some reason or another.
Yeah, that's yeah, that thankful for those procedures as well because
Absolutely.
yeah, that
Absolutely.
when it's needed, it's needed. It's when we
Yeah.
can prevent it, we
Yeah.
need to prevent whatever we can, and then as homeopaths, look into if it has any effect on the child or the mother, and then go with that and
That's
say.
right. You just they will tell you when you take the case.
I've taken a case recently of a child, 2-year-old child, and is an angel, and then care is very demanding and very goes will have a tantrum, and I was going through the pregnancy history, and mother told everything was fine, etc. And then came, oh, it was a forceps delivery because I couldn't deliver. Either I had to go with forceps or C-section, and I went with forceps. I was like, okay, now I see where it is. And with a 2-year-old, they cannot tell what's going on. They can just show their symptoms and gestures that, oh, I'm not liking it. So this is very, very important. If it has an impact, when my mother is telling me, the child is telling me this has happened, I have to look into this.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think all babies probably should have an osteopathic assessment, as soon as they're born, because even sometimes from the way the lie that they've had in uterus can affect the shape of the head. I've noticed that when women are breastfeeding, the baby will have a bit of a torticollis or something. That's all come from positioning in the womb, depends where the placenta was. So, to have a little bit of body work, I think is important. For some babies.
These things are so vital and important. And usually, someone who was an elderly in your community, like we call them wise women of the community, they would tell, oh, the child is walking with a slant, or they're not keeping the foot on the floor properly. Can you do this or this with that child? That's all. Everything is gone. If the child is falling out, he'll grow out of it. He'll grow out of it. They will grow out of it. But the body will learn to compensate for what has happened.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you a really interesting incident here. There was a woman I was caring for in a pregnancy, and was her. She'd had other children, and she was a home birther. And she said, I feel very protective of this baby in this pregnancy. She said, I feel that in its last life, it died in war, and I think got its head shot away. But she said, it's just really strong image. And she had the baby, and I didn't see, she didn't leave the house for 40 days. Like, she really stuck to her guns about protecting this baby. And I didn't see the child till she was 9 months old, and she started to crawl. And she was crawling with a limp. And the mother brought her to the clinic, and I took the case, and it was Rostox. And I gave her Rostox, and she broke out an impetigo all over the side of the face, which had been shot away in the previous life.
Wow,
Isn't that amazing?
that's
And I mean, and
transformational.
Tinnis says that Rostox is a remedy for past life trauma. It's true.
Wow,
Now,
amazing.
sticking with that, Patricia, we have a lot of students from around the world. They're all on Earth still, so around the world, who would probably ask or would want to know about. You've mentioned Rostox, you've mentioned lacumanum and oxytocin and some other remedies.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning. Losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
How would you explain to them that if they want, let's say there's a classic case of lacumanum, but they're also bordering upon, do I need to give a dose of miasmatic remedy, tub or cark or whatever? You know where I'm heading with this, right? So what's your guidance or feedback to them? What's the way they should do it? And can they add other remedies if they wanted to? you know, depending on the case, of course.
Well, my answer would be you take it case by case. And I mean, in my book, at the end of every chapter, I have a DD. And if you go to the Lacumanum one, there will be a lot of remedies that follow, goes well with, proceeds. They're all there. Sinicula is another big one after Lacumana because that's ailments from a poor diet. So, you know, if Lacumanum picture is because there was lack of breastfeeding, you know, sinicula will often show up. So you can't be too dogmatic about these things. But I tell you what I do a lot of in my clinic is I give the remedy along with the balneozone. And so often, you know, with babies, you'll give Morgan Pure. But if psychosis is really strong, I would give Psychotico, which of course is the one that goes with Rostox. And it's got sepia in it too. Just really depends on the situation. But more often with babies, it would be Morgan Pure. And you can give mothers a probiotic like L-reuteri, uplifts oxytocin as a probiotic. So you could give that to mothers and that will impact. So there are a lot of things that you can do. But as I said, it's a case by case thing. I'm not dogmatic, I'm not prescriptive. Everybody's different. The only thing I will say that's a truism that if you're working with the lax and you want to do true cure, it would have to come back to a human lac.
I'm just so fascinating, and I have a few two more things that I wanted to ask because there are a few cases that I'm seeing that are on spectrum, and they tend to hit the right side of their head. Whenever they are in that phase, they are hitting the right side of their head, and I think that's a right frontal lobe that helps with the connection and processing the emotions, etc. But now, just from the conversation, I'm just thinking maybe it's a link between the suffering of the mother, the child not wanting to be here, and Lac Maternum can be very helpful for those children. I've not given it yet. I've not g used Lac Maternum. I've used Lac Humanum, but not Lac Maternum. And it was just a thought that came to my mind.
Look, it's interesting because when the we did the proving of Lac Maternum at the college that I was teaching at, and I went to the provers meeting when the students were presenting their diaries, and I got really excited because I could see straight away from what they were talking about in their dreams and in the physical symptoms that there was a strong link with birth. And so Lac Maternum will get this pressure around here, like you get with crowning. It's a very particular kind. It will alternate sides. Lac Humanum. But the other thing about Lac Maternum with a headache, it's better for bending the head forward, worse for bending the head back, you know, which of course is what the baby does when it comes down. The head comes down, then it comes back up as the body and straightening out the body. So, you know, you look for those sorts of things if you're wanting to look at Lac Maternum. But it is a big headache remedy.
It's just difficult for children who are especially non-verbal, who have to go with what they are presenting and the gestures they are presenting. Yeah. Just a question that came to my mind when I, but believe it or not, we are now nearing the end of the second episode as well. And I would love to ask you another question before we end. So, looking back from all the papers that you have published and from even what we have talked about today, you seem to return again and again to the meeting point between lactation, hormones, miasms we have touched upon, and the lac remedies. So, how has your work with breastfeeding mothers changed the way you understand homeopathic philosophy, especially ideas such as the law of cure, miasms, and deep layers within a case?
Why am I choking? It's interesting. I'm almost at a loss for words about that question.
The big one, isn't it? I'm sorry.
I mean, all the miasms are important. But have you read the book by Harry van der Zee, Miasms in Labour?
Yeah, I have.
You know, I
I
mean,
see
I
it.
really it resonated with that book early on.
Love
I mean,
that.
the experience of the baby, as it's being born, psychosis, and then, the syphilitic moment, this is oblivion, I'm surely going to die. And then, paradise regained when they find the breast. And that kind of mimics our journey through life. I mean, we come in, we reincarnate because we didn't get the lessons done. And in Lac Humanum, big dreams about being at school, about college, learning. Lac Maternum, it's more about being in a library and doing research. It's more about the human condition, whereas Lac Humanum, it's about the lessons you didn't do and you have to come back and get them done. And of course that needs Sora to be strong so that you can, as Aphorism 9 says, it's about being fulfilled, you've got to have a healthy body in order to self-realize. And everything that's happening now in reproduction is goes against that. I mean, have you heard of Ectolife? It's a company, you can look it up. They're developing birth pods now where they can conceive babies in a petri dish and grow them in a pod and then hand them over to the birthing person who doesn't have a uterus. And in China, they develop robots that will do the same thing. And this is where they're going, thinking that it's perfectly okay to do that. And it's so perfectly not okay.
It's not okay.
Certainly not okay. I mean, the thing is, when there is conception, you have what's the first cell division? You get a vesica Pisces. What's a vesica Pisces? It's the most sacred space to do with creative principles. You get 2 cells, 4 cells, 8 cells, 16 cells, 32 cells. You get that flower of life pattern. Yeah. And you get this thing, what's it called? A marula, the mulberry. It rolls down the fallopian tube. And when it gets to the fundus, it elongates and turns itself inside out and becomes a torus. So a torus is that energy field where energy translates into matter. So the whole lot of steps that happen in those first couple of weeks are so profoundly sacred, so profoundly sacred. And I mean, in the Christian Bible, in the Old Testament, King David slept under the mulberry tree before he was anointed king. So the mulberry is associated with initiation into sovereignty. So it's kind of interesting that we named that thing the marula as it's rolling down to become a zygote.
Nothing happens by chance. Everything is connected, isn't it? Yes, that's
Absolutely.
what quantum is
Absolutely.
saying, quantum theory is. Every single atom, everything,
I mean, recently MIT have just published the energy field around conception, and it's all these, what a Julia said is, when you've got these, Fibonacci kind of shapes coming out. I really think, oh my goodness me,
It's
this
so
is
much
so
happened.
precious.
So much that we don't know, and it's all energy, isn't it? We are energy beings, and now just I'm just in my, I'm thinking people being raised or born in from those pods, the memories that the child carry with the mother in the womb, like what? No wonder that a child will, what the trajectory is that a child will have a personal robotic teacher for them to teach them what they need to do. Like that's
We don't know what
because.
we're doing. We're just ruining it. I can remember as a student and the teacher telling us this tarantula case, and he said it was a child who he gave tarantula to, and he said it went right back to the fact it was IVF, and there was the cells were put in the centrifuge. And it was that whole thing of the spinning in the centrifuge that put that energy on that child that he needed tarantula.
Patricia, well, once again, thank you. Please do stay on after we stop recording so that we can catch up. But from Nyla and I, until next week, God bless you, and we will talk very, very soon indeed, Nyla. I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Tune in every week for inspiring conversations, bringing you all things health and well-being to your radio and podcast apps.
The more exposure the Homeopathy Health Show receives, the better for homeopathy around the world.
And please do support the show by clicking follow on our socials.
You can find us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk and on Facebook and Instagram at Homeopathy in Practice. Do give us a follow on there. Let's promote the voice of homeopathy around the world together. Until next time, stay safe and take care.